of the message, experiencing the Holy Spirit, experiencing the Holy Spirit. The theme of this year is Come Holy Spirit, and we have been excited about this theme, and we've been trying to preach on the Holy Spirit, somewhat related to this theme, almost every time we have service together. I think it was 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, when Pastor Samuel Navarro preached, and he asked this question. So the theme and the prayer of this year is Come Holy Spirit, but for what purpose are we praying this prayer? For what purpose are we asking, Holy Spirit, would you come upon us? And I hope some of you at least remember. He said the purpose is because God has called us to greatness. I know you all remember, right? Just too shy to say it. God has called us to greatness. God has given us a great purpose, right? God has given us a great purpose, the Great Commission. And Pastor Navarro gave us his 2 points last time. And he said part two is coming perhaps in September, right? So you have to wait a long time to get the full picture. But God has given us a great purpose. And for that, we're saying, Holy Spirit, come. Because this is the phrase that hopefully was memorable to you. We cannot be and do what God has called us to be and do without the Holy Spirit, right? We cannot be and do what He has called us to be and do without the Holy Spirit. So that is the purpose for which we cry out, Come Holy Spirit. I want to take a different angle today. For me, when I look at that, that's the functional purpose. When we say, Come Holy Spirit, for what function are we asking, Come Holy Spirit? Today, I want to submit to you what I would like to call the relational purpose for which we cry out, Come Holy Spirit. The relational purpose for us coming to God and saying, Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. The relational purpose. What do I mean by that? The relational purpose. Basically, what I'm saying is when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, our relationship with God gets better. It goes deeper. We get to know God more. We get to experience Him. Not just know Him in theory as a distant story, you know, just something that we convince ourselves of, we reason ourselves into believing, but it's something that we experience and we get to know Him through experience. We get to know His love, His holiness, His goodness, His character, His power. The relational purpose of saying, Come Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, yes, He will empower us to do the thing that He's called us to do, but also, why does God want to send us the Holy Spirit? Because He wants a deeper relationship with each and every one of us. He wants to reveal Himself to us in this way. Here's the text that I want to read with you. This was part of my prayer today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. So Paul is saying, I'm praying for you all the time. And this is what he's praying. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's the Holy Spirit. So that you may know Him better. When the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, we get to know God better. In Ephesians chapter 3, in the same book, Paul will talk about a spirit-empowered knowing that goes beyond knowledge. A spirit-empowered knowing that goes beyond knowledge. So we'll look at another text, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You can keep it on there. Paul says that you may know this love. He prays for the Holy Spirit, that God may give you the Spirit in your inner being, and you may have power to understand, to grasp the love of God, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. It's a Spirit-empowered knowing that goes beyond our natural ability to know something. In Ephesians 3:18-19, in the New Living Translation, it says this, "And may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love." And then it says, "May you experience the love of Christ." Experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. With our mind, it is too great for us to fathom, for us to comprehend, for us to really understand. But when the Spirit of God moves in our hearts, we can still experience this love. It's a knowing that goes beyond knowledge. There are two types of knowing. In SP, we've talked about this many times. So if you've been here a while, you're familiar with this. Two types of knowing. There is head knowledge, and then there is heart knowledge, right? There is head knowledge and there is heart knowledge. Head knowledge is knowing something through reading about something, through studying about something, through watching a video about something, and through this process of reasoning, right? You read something in Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loves the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son." And then you reason and you say, well, God, it says God loves the world. I am a part of the world, therefore God loves me. And you reason. And that's the one way of knowing. That's head knowledge, book knowledge. But then there is heart knowledge, knowing something because you've gone through it, because you've experienced it. Book knowledge versus experience. I'm sure we value book knowledge, but we value more experience. That's why in your job interviews, people want to find out not so much what did you learn at school, but what kind of work experience have you had? What kind of experiences have you had in your past work with goods? That's how we truly know something. It doesn't matter how many books you have read on parenting. Nothing quite prepares you for your first child, right? Some of you guys know, that's a shock to your system, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to handle this thing. Same with all things, really, whether it's preaching or leading worship. I'm speaking about myself. Preaching, leading worship, doing weddings. I remember the first time I did a wedding. I've watched many weddings that Pastor Sam has done. And I watched many rehearsals that he's done. And I've heard his wedding sermon multiple times, right? So I studied his notes and I read about how to do weddings properly. And I remember the first time I did a wedding, this couple is no longer in our church, so it's okay. We can talk about this. They for some reason, it was just a busy time. It wasn't a long preparation. So they said, let's not do a rehearsal. For me, first time, so I thought, well, we already know the steps. Let's not do a rehearsal. I think we'll be fine. But nothing quite prepares you, right? Even though you study and you prepare for it. So I do the first wedding, and my first wedding, no rehearsal, and you know what happened? When it came time for the groom to put the ring on the bride's ring finger, he took her right hand, and he put the ring on her right hand. And none of us caught it. And so at the end of the wedding, I was like, oh, dude, that's the wrong hand. And we had to switch the hand, the ring finger. I just felt so embarrassed. I was like, what am I doing? This is my first time trying to make this memorable. The couple was very gracious and said, oh, it's fine, it's good. But it's messy. But since then, I have had many weddings. I've probably done about 15 weddings or so. And so the last wedding I did, actually the couples here in the sanctuary, Anki and Felix, welcome. Hey, congratulations on your wedding a few months ago. Yay. So this is the last wedding I did after many years of actually doing weddings. And also this time, we had no rehearsal because they were busy and out-of-town guests coming in. And this time, no rehearsal, no problem. You know, actually, when they said no rehearsal, whenever people say no rehearsal, I go back to the first wedding that I did, and I say, no, we have to have rehearsal. We have to go through every single thing multiple times to prepare. But they couldn't, so I was like, oh, maybe we could do it. And because I've done it so many times, that's my experience. I've gone through the fire of making mistakes at weddings and being so stressed out doing weddings, and now I'm at a place where I can say, you know what, I think we could do it. And see, they're nodding because the wedding was good, right? They had a good wedding. So, book knowledge versus experience. You can learn something by studying something. You can learn about God. You can come to faith in God through reasoning and through argument and through apologetics. And intellectually, you're like, you know what? I can submit to the idea that God exists and that he is good and that he loves me. But that's different from experiencing him. So my question that I wanted to pose to you is, what is your knowledge of God? What is your knowledge of God? Do you know him primarily through this intellectual knowing? You read the Bible, and the Bible says all these things about God, and because you have submitted yourself to the Bible, you say, well, this is the truth, and I believe it, and this is what I hold on to. Or do you know God also through experience. Just another quick sharing. This past week, Monica and I went to Korea. Thank you for praying for us. We decided, we wanted to visit some schools because Joel, our oldest, he'll be turning 8 soon and he needs to go to second grade in Korea. And so we wanted to visit these schools. And before we went, of course, we looked at a bunch of schools online. You read about it. You go to forums on Facebook. And you hear different people talk about it. So we have a few ideas about these schools. And we had 4 schools that we wanted to visit. But it wasn't until we actually... It's not until you actually walk into the school that you really get a feel for the school, you know? It looks good on paper and on the website. It looks beautiful and everything looks fine. When we walk into it and we meet the teachers and we see the environment, we're like, okay, you get a feel for what the school is like. Praise God, the last school we visited, we enjoyed, we liked it, and so we have decided on the school for Joel, so we're very thankful for that. But that's what I mean. There's a difference between researching and reading and learning, watching sermons and listening to sermons and reading the Word of God for intellectual purposes and knowing about God versus actually experiencing him and getting a feel for what is he really like? What is God really like? There is a knowing of God that only comes through experience. Not just life experience, like we go through a hard time and God pulls us through. That's great too, but I'm talking about a direct experience of the Holy Spirit coming, you know, an experience of his presence and his love. We often call that kind of an experience something like the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? The coming of the Holy Spirit often is when we have a direct experience of His love, of His presence, of His power, of His glory, of His goodness, we call that the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I want to. So I don't have points today. Isn't that amazing? I usually have 3 points every sermon, but today we're just going to talk about this one thing, and we'll do some prayer ministry at the end. I want to share with you my story of how I encountered the Holy Spirit for the first time, how I experienced the Holy Spirit. That it happened in my youth group. I was about 16, I think. So when I was 16, growing up in Hong Kong, I was blessed by God to attend a youth group that was on fire for Jesus. And it's actually the youth group of the Vine Church. You know, this is a side note. I was thinking about my journey as a Christian. This experience in my youth group, that is really what began my true faith relationship with God. If it wasn't for this youth group, I don't know where I would be, because this is where I encountered God. That happened at the Vine youth group. You know where I got baptized is at ECC. There was no Island ECC at the time. It was Kowloon ECC. I just happened to be going to that church for some period of time when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you should get baptized. So I got baptized at Kowloon ECC, had my Holy Spirit experience at the Vine, and then I got my call to full-time ministry at an ICA youth retreat when I was in college. So thankful for all these different churches. I know some of you guys come from those churches. I'm so grateful for that experience. But at the Vine, it was a very charismatic youth group, as in they just, every Saturday night when we got together, we would have long times of worship. And this is the first time I did this, where the leaders will come around you and they'll pray for you, and we would all stand up, you know, we'd have our hands up. And I don't remember the specifics of what the invitation was, you know, or if there even was an invitation. Maybe it was just during a time of worship, and we're all just worshiping, singing songs of our love to the Lord, and it was just powerful. And then this happened multiple times, so I don't have like one specific memory of the first time I encountered the presence of the Holy Spirit, but over many weeks, this was kind of the experience. I would stand there and I would have my hands up, and one of my youth leaders will come and they'll pray for me. And when they prayed for me, what happened for me was my legs started shaking. It never happens now, but for some reason, in that period when I was going to youth group, I was like shaking and then swaying, you know, and it's really difficult to explain exactly what was going on, but I was shaking, and I felt, for me, the biggest question that it answered for me was, oh, hey, God is real. I was already baptized at the time, meaning with my head knowledge, I had gotten to a point where I said, I believe in the Lord, and I'm going to give my life to God. So I had gotten baptized. But that whole time, to me, faith was, well, my parents believe it. You know, they're missionaries. They've taught this to me my whole life. Of course I believe in God. Of course God is good, and Jesus Christ came and died for me. Of course the Bible is the Word of God. Yeah, so I believe. That was pretty much my faith, experience up to that point. And then I come to this youth group, and they practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're praying for you, and they just expect God to come and do something a little more direct. And then they pray for me, and this presence of God comes. It's hard to explain. The leg shaking, yeah, that's something that happened, but I also felt in my heart His love. I felt His glory, you know. I felt His goodness. I felt that He was there for me. Like He's real. God was real to me. It wasn't just some stories that I have come to believe through my childhood journey, but God was real to me at the time, through that experience. So that was the biggest thing for me. In youth group, many, many, many times we would pray and I would experience. That was my first time I experienced God. Like, oh, God's real. He's there for me. He's not just an idea. He's not just some story that I have come to believe by growing up in a Christian home. So we're going to practice this today. I believe that God wants to reveal himself to you in this kind of a way. But before we do that, I do have a teaching on experience. Okay, experience. So this is what I want to say. It's not my 3 points, but there are 3 points in this little thing that I want to teach to you. Number one is experience alone is dangerous. Experience alone is dangerous. But the second thing I want to say is this. Scripture alone can become dry. Experience alone is dangerous. Scripture alone can become dry. What we need is experience alongside Scripture. The Scripture is what we go by, but what we need is experience that come alongside Scripture. Experience alone is dangerous. If all of our knowledge of God is based on experience, man, that is dangerous. If it's not grounded in Scripture, that's dangerous. You're going to have such a roller coaster experience with God. Sometimes your prayer gets answered. You're like, God is good. He loves me. Sometimes you go through hard times and where is God? God has abandoned me. And also, you open yourself up to lots of delusions. If you don't have the Word of God anchoring your belief and your knowledge about God, man, your experiences will take you to different places. So experience alone is dangerous. But I want to submit to you, Scripture alone can become dry. If all of our knowledge of God is based only on book knowledge, I read it in the Bible, so I believe it. Meaning there is no heart experience of the Spirit of God stirring your heart as you read the Scriptures and you're like, oh man, the love of God that Paul is explaining, like it touches your heart and it makes your heart come alive, then I believe it can lead to a very dry, detached relationship with God. A relationship that's just based on duty. It's the truth of God. It's this marvelous truth of God, but your heart is not moved. So here's a quote I want to give to you. This was a Gospel Coalition article. So we know that's a very conservative, they don't fully like chase after emotion and experience. But this is what it says by Jeremy Linneman from Gospel Coalition. How do we know and feel God's love? Whether I'm talking with a new Christian or a seasoned believer, I often have a similar conversation. Each of us confesses that we struggle to pray, to overcome some old habit, or to find joy and peace in the Christian life. Then we both ask a question that often lies behind our other struggles. How do I really know and feel God's love for me? It's all too possible to know the right doctrines, participate in a healthy church, and even lead others in a loving way, yet remain spiritually cold, dry, and detached. I know from experience. I know God loves me and Jesus died for my sins, and I know the Spirit lives within me, but these powerful truths often remain intellectual. For many of us, this is our Christian experience. It remains intellectual. It doesn't move our heart. Does it make sense that the powerful truth about the grace of Jesus Christ doesn't actually move your heart to tears, to a transformed heart? Does it make sense? If you think about it, it doesn't make sense. How can the powerful truth of Creator God saying to you, I love you, and because of that, I sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you so that you could be forgiven and have a relationship with me. And all we say is, I know. I know that. I believe that. Yes. And there is nothing that happens in your heart. I would say that's not what God, that's not the fullness of what God wants from us. So what we need is experience alongside Scripture. So Scripture is here. That's the main thing. That's our core. But we need experience to come alongside Scripture. What we need is experiences grounded in the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, but we have experience that confirm the Word of God. We experience what the Word of God says about who God is. We experience what the Word of God says about who God is. So the Word of God tells us God loves us. And then we experience it. We're like, whoa, you experience His love. It's a direct experience. He comes into your heart and He stirs your heart and He shows you somehow, man, I love you. His tender care and kindness and His love comes and you taste it. You experience it. The Word of God tells us of our sinfulness. The Word of God tells us about our sinfulness, and then we experience the presence of God and the holiness of God and the glory of God, and we experience how far we are from, how short we are of His glory. We come so short of His glory and His holiness, and then we're filled with dread and conviction, and we come before God in humility and brokenness. And then that leads us to an experience of the grace of God, right? The Word of God tells us of our sinfulness, but for many of us, we're like, yeah, that's true. But that's all. Our heart is not moved. The Word of God tells us of the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency, meaning he is enough for our everything. This is a quote. Look at this John MacArthur. It says about the sufficiency of Christ. Having the Lord Jesus Christ is to have everything needed in spiritual life for time and eternity. To have Him is to have everything. Not to have Him is to have absolutely nothing at all. All joy, peace, meaning, value, purpose, hope, fulfillment in life now and forever is bound up in Christ. And when a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they enter into an all-sufficient relationship with an all-sufficient Christ. And yet, when we read that, if all we have is book knowledge, we say, amen. I'm going to convince myself that this is true. My life, I just feel like I need this, and I'm tempted to do this, and I don't feel sufficiently supplied for, but yeah, the sufficiency of Christ. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to practice that. I'm going to believe that Jesus is enough for me, and I'm going to make sure that I don't complain, and I'm going to make sure that I rejoice. I found this to be true. I don't remember what I was going through. It might have been when Mon and I, we were in Sydney this last summer for a long time and with our kids for about 6 weeks or so. It was a wonderful time, but at times it was tiring, right? And at times it's like, oh my gosh, it's tiring. I just want to break. And then I tell myself, hey, the Word of God says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. Right? So I'm like, okay, I got to do that. I rejoice always. Thank you, Lord. But I had no joy. No thankfulness was bursting out of me. And then I realized, oh, I'm not actually coming into the presence of God to experience His sufficiency, to experience His joy, to experience His peace. So because I'm not doing that, I'm not spending time with God and experiencing that, all I'm doing is I'm just trying to convince myself and force myself. It's all duty. I'm like, this is the truth. I'm going to do it. God is enough for me. But it's just, I keep falling short. And then I realize, no, what if this truth of the sufficiency of Christ was accompanied by the experience of the sufficiency of Christ? And you experience His perfect love, and you experience His perfect peace, you experience His perfect joy, you come into the presence of God, and you just
You just know it. It's a different kind of knowing, but you know it. Then we can say, wow, life is hard at times, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can rejoice in the Lord. Often, people describe the experience of the Holy Spirit as something like liquid love. Liquid love flowing inside of you. I recently saw a YouTube testimony of this lady who was verbally abused as a child. She was a bright child, but when she was about 8, 9, she was verbally abused and then started just rejecting herself and started taking drugs, dropped out of school, becomes a cocaine addict, becomes a prostitute, becomes a heroin addict, ends up in jail. And then through some intervention of her family and her friends, she goes to a rehab program, Christian rehab program. It's not working. She keeps relapsing, and she's about to get kicked out of the program. But then she said one of the leaders prayed for her. And then she said the Holy Spirit came upon her. And the liquid love of God filled her heart. And that's what she needed to really turn away from the addictions. And in the video, she's a mom of 2 beautiful little children. You know, like, it's just a life transformation that is possible through the experience of the Holy Spirit. Often people say it's the liquid love of God being poured out. Romans 5:5. Almost done. Romans 5:5. It says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And Piper, this is what John Piper says, a pastor from the U.S., of this passage. He says this, "God's love poured into your heart, God's love poured into your heart is not the same as God's love proven to your mind. God's love poured into your heart is a real heart experience of being loved by God. God's love proven to your mind is the conclusion of an argument." Not like an argument between someone, but a conclusion of a reasoning, a reasoned argument, a rational argument. "Or with or without the sweetness of feeling loved by God in the heart." So we need both. God's love can be proven in our mind as we read Scripture, as we think about what has God done in my life. And we think about all those things and we can come to the conclusion, yes, God loves me. But that's different from God's love being poured into your heart. And he says this, Piper says, "I want you to enjoy this gift." Can we go back to the quote, please? "I want you to enjoy this gift." What does he say? "I want you to know this sweetness." That's good. "I want you to know this sweetness. I want you to enjoy this gift, the outpouring of the love of God in your hearts." So, yeah. That's what I encourage us to do today. We're going to open up the altar in a little bit. And if anybody's here and you just say, "Man, I want to know God better. I want to know God in this way of directly experiencing his presence, experiencing his love," you can come to the front. We'll pray for you. I just want to share with you that you don't have to worry about the physical manifestations. Am I going to shake? Am I going to cry? Whether you're the one receiving prayer or you're the one praying for somebody, it's not about, am I going to have some kind of a physical manifestation. I can promise you that among many people I know at church, I feel like I'm one of the least physically manifestative person in the church. Manifestative. I don't know what the word is. I don't have these things. I just, often I come, prophetic speakers come and they want to pray for us. Mon is the same. So we just, thank you. Thank you. That was good. Thank you. We believe it. You know, we hardly ever, you know, cry or fall under the Holy Spirit. That shaking, that was exclusively reserved for my youth group experience. That doesn't happen to me. Sometimes my eyes kind of go,
That's all the physical manifestation you'll see. Sometimes I, you know, sometimes I sway back and forth. But usually I just stand there. But inside in my heart, man, I feel his love. You know, when I'm alone in my own prayer time, that's what I do. I put on some music. It just helps me. But you don't have to put on music. And I just open my hands. I usually open my hands to the Lord like this. Nothing happens physically, but I just feel his love for me. I feel the peace of God. And I feel his nearness to me. And this encouragement fills my heart. And when I was feeling weak and tired and scared and fearful and anxious, all these things, not completely, but a lot of those things get washed away in the presence of God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so worship team, if you could just play a song for us. Yeah, let's close our eyes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for the word. Thank you for this opportunity to meditate on this topic of come Holy Spirit. And I believe, God, that you want us to experience you. God, you want to reveal yourself to us, God, in this way. You have revealed yourself to me in this way, and you continue to reveal yourself to me in this way. So I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come and stir our hearts, God. Move our heart. Move our heart to tears. Move our heart to an emotional response at this powerful truth of your amazing love, God. You know, I just pray that we will not be that we will not have a detached, dry book knowledge of you only, but God, that we would have this vibrant, warm, living, you know, on fire relationship with you, God. So, yeah, we give this time to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you want to come forward, please do. I encourage you, if you do come forward, just to stand. I find that that does help you, kind of help the ministers and help you kind of experience, kind of receive the love of God. But if you want to kneel or sit, that's also okay. God will move in any way. But come forward. If you don't feel the particular inkling, just stay in your place and just open up your hands to the Lord and receive his presence, his love, okay? Please, thank you.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of our sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
Church member, and you want to just pray for them, please do come and just lay your hand on your friend and pray for them.
The Father's arms are open. altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Let's rise to our feet. If you're receiving prayer, please stay in that place. But if you are sitting down, let's stand. Let's sing this song one time,
just from the top of the verse, and
let's respond to God's love with this song.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Oh, Jesus is calling. Oh, let's see, we come to. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness is bought with the precious. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness. Bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before you, Lord Jesus, for you are Lord of all. We sing hallelujah, you are risen. Sing, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. For you, we bow down before you, for you are Lord of all. We sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Yeah, we need your presence. God, we need your presence. Lord, we need to come before you, God, and experience your love and experience your sufficiency and experience your goodness. Also experience the holiness of God and the glory of God for us to rightly respond to the powerful truth of your word, God. We also need to experience these truths in our hearts, God. So, Holy Spirit, would you come and take us deeper into a deeper intimacy with you, a deeper relationship with you, God. Thank you for moving in our hearts, God. And we want to just dedicate this year to really knowing you better in this way. So we open our hearts to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your mercy and kindness, God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.